A number of different terrorist organizations were spawned in this period. The People's Will in 1908, the Black Hand, the People's Defense, all terrorist organizations whose goal was Serbian national unity, the unity of all Serbs in some sort of larger pan-Slavic state in the south, all aimed at the Habsburg monarchy. Vienna suspected Serbia in particular of supporting these anti-Habsburg terrorist organizations, and many within the Habsburg government and military circles believed that some sort of showdown with Serbia over its support for terrorism was inevitable and ultimately desirable. Serbia was seen, I think to use the terminology of the 1990s, Serbia was engaged in state-sponsored terrorism. Serbia was providing a haven for terrorist organizations aimed at the Habsburgs, in many cases supplying, the Habsburgs believed, weapons, supplied military training, and there was a good deal of evidence to suggest that this was in fact the case. Habsburg officials were frustrated in their attempts to do anything about this situation. And as I said, there were two camps within the Habsburg monarchy, those that thought that the solution was some form, fundamental form, of reform within the empire itself, granting the South Slavs some sort of autonomy, and those that, as they said, in the very vivid language of the period, it was maybe it was time to, quote, lance the Serbian ulcer, close quote. That is, to attack Serbia, to do something about Serbia. These mounting tensions would surge to the surface in 1908, 1909, in the so-called Bosnian crisis, a crisis which was a remarkable prelude, or in preview, actually, of the events of the summer of 1914. In 1908, a group of Western-educated, trained Turkish civilian and military men overthrew the repressive Sultan, hoping to revive the Turkish Empire, hoping to stop the hemorrhage of territory in the Ottoman Empire, hoping to modernize the Turkish state and to make it competitive with the other European states. This so-called Young Turk Revolt set off a chain reaction in diplomatic circles. In Vienna, for example, the Habsburg ministry began to worry that if, in fact, this Young Turkish revolt were successful, then it really might halt the disintegration of the Ottoman Empire, and there would be nothing that Bosnia-Herzegovina might have to revert back to the Turks. For the Russians, it was equally concerned that a revived Turkish state was certainly not in its interests. And so Austria and Russia, as this Young Turk rebellion got underway, discussions began, top secret discussions began between the foreign ministers of Austria and Russia to work out a deal. In this deal, the Austrians would receive Russian agreement to the outright annexation of the provinces of Bosnia-Herzegovina. Now, since 1878, as you'll recall, Bosnia-Herzegovina had been administered by the Habsburgs, but nothing in the Congress of Vienna, nothing in that settlement had given the Habsburgs the right to actually annex these territories. Russian opposition would have been one of the major stumbling blocks. The Russians were willing to agree to an Austrian annexation of Bosnia-Herzegovina in exchange for Austrian support at an international congress for Russian seizure of the Straits of Constantinople, the Bosphorus and the Dardanelles Straits. This would give Russia access out of the Black Sea into to the Mediterranean, and had been one of the age-old goals of Russian diplomacy. Now, the way this deal was worked out was that both sides would wait until an international conference to move forward with these plans, and then there would be mutually supportive.